Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking and Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. We celebrate our victories. We stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast. It is season 13. It is episode 38. Apologies for last week. I don't know. We just couldn't find a time where all of us were available to do the full podcast. Len and myself did the question time on the Tuesday, and we were due to record again on the Wednesday, but I had other engagements at the airport, and yeah, it just didn't happen. But we're here now.
It just went tits up.
You would have thought he would have known he had to pick someone up from the airport on Tuesday, though, wouldn't he?
When lining it up for the Wednesday.
I thought it was going to be yourself and John, but you know, obviously you can't record without me. Or didn't want to record without me. It's very touching.
Oh, you're special. Yeah.
John's told me I'm middle class for having an exchange student over from Boston.
What I said is you couldn't get any more middle class if you tried.
There are many other reasons why you're middle class. That just adds to the list.
Anyway, let's quickly talk about the game that we never talked about. Two wins, back-to-back wins in the Premier League. The first two wins of 2024. And we're on a roll. We're seventh. We're in European qualification. Before we talk about our win at Everton, I've got to try and remember who we played the week.
Brentford.
Of course it was. Brentford on the Monday night. John.
Hello.
I know you didn't bother coming. Are you regretting not coming now to the Monday night football?
Am I? No, I'm not. But it was good.
Goals are fun, as Nigel will say.
It was good.
And I think that's seven goals in a week, Monday and Sunday.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
That's in the same week, yeah.
It was a decent game.
We seemed to go for it from the beginning. We won't spend too long reminiscing, but you know, the crowd seemed up for it. We seemed to go for it. Well, the crowd was there. More of that later. I've been reading the SAG minutes. I don't know if you've seen this, but they've revealed what the average attendance is, and it's nowhere near. But more of that later. I'm going to make you.
But it's less than 50,000.
It is less than
50,000. There you go.
John, were you jumping around? Did you watch it live? Were you jumping around the room? Did you do a somersault?
I did watch it live. I wasn't jumping around the room or did any somersaults, but I enjoyed it. It was good to see Bowen.
Bowen hat-trick.
You know, the Emerson scorcher. It was good. Seeing Mopay, he got his goal, and seeing him having a row with Nolan and him being a snidey little whatever.
I've got Mopay in my fancy league, but yeah, I haven't seen that many hat-tricks. I was trying to work out because there hasn't been many, but I saw the Andy Carroll one and I saw a McAvenny one, and I think I saw a
Marlon Harwood. All right, how many did you get up to, Sean? In your counting of West Ham players counting? That have scored hat-tricks.
Well, you haven't helped at all. But
no, because I'm sitting back and laughing. I'm waiting for
well,
this.
Well, you know what? Here's something for you, Nigel. There is no record, official record on a website that you can find it. There is in Premier League area, but not beyond that. So maybe there's a little gap for you to do the research.
Perhaps Nigel has been.
Oh, have you? Oh, well done. I've got up to about 40.
What, different players?
Different players, yeah. I think 38, to be precise.
Right, okay.
What have you got up to?
Well, let's see.
I find if you search for West Ham hat-trick, you won't find it. But if someone goes, I'll tell you how I've been doing it, you might go, oh, really? I've been going down the top goal scorers and type in Google the word hat-trick and see if it's got a match report of them. And most have, you know? Carlton Cole never scored one. Paolo Di Canio never scored
up to 1939.
Yeah.
I think I got about 28.
Oh, right, okay.
Different goal scorers.
More than me.
Vic Watson, how many hat-tricks did he get, Sean?
13.
Did he?
Yeah.
I think you'll find it was more than that.
Well, that's what it said on They Fly So High, so it must be right. Anyway, anywho, right. Nigel, where are you? What are you doing?
I've got 14, but still.
Okay.
And I've listed up and give all the games as well.
We haven't introduced properly. Nigel, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed. I'm researching who scores hat tricks for West Ham.
Oh, excellent. John, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at home talking to yous.
Yeah, I did that the wrong way around because I've already asked you about the game. Brentford game for you then, Nigel?
Yes, I was there.
I know, I saw you. I bumped into you on the way out as well as the way in.
Yep, double pie mash. Lovely, lovely.
Nice. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I always enjoy it.
Do you reckon Len's...
Is it the liquor, is it?
With the liquor. You have to have the liquor.
Do you reckon Len's regretting not going?
What, the pie mash?
No,
I don't know.
On Monday night football.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the pie mash. You said, did I enjoy it? I was like, yeah, obviously.
Did you enjoy the game?
Well, goals are fun. What was there not to enjoy?
Well,
I mean, I must admit, Sean,
cool.
I was disappointed in the fact that we didn't all out attack Brentford for a full 90 odd minutes plus injury time. And I think Moyes needs to wake himself up.
Really
attack more. And four goals just ain't enough. I'm sorry.
I think you need to take that back because Moyes wasn't in charge for that game.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, was it that one game? Was it?
Oh, who was it? Was it Bowen's team talk, John?
I don't know.
Was it the one that Kevin Nolan took charge for this game? Which conspiracy?
Or was it Heitinger? Was it Heitinger's game? Was it?
I think the Nolan story was the most prominent, wasn't it?
I know. Yeah. Hilarious.
What a load of bollocks.
I know.
But, I mean, 2-0 up to 6 minutes, not sure. We were quite ready for that.
No.
I'm quite grateful I've got into the habit of actually getting in for kickoff.
Yeah.
Fantastic start. Obviously, the talisman was back, Pakatar. It does seem a bit of shade of Payet with his first season at West Ham when, you know, we lost him to injury against Everton and proceeded to draw the next seven games. Until he came back and then we won again.
What is it that he does? Because obviously he wasn't involved. I don't even think he got an assist on the Monday night, if I remember rightly.
I don't know, Matt. I mean,
because they market him so much? Is it just his general play that...
Maybe, but it always the team,
I don't know.
Yeah, his general play. The ability he's got on the ball and his ability to create an opening with a pass. Not so much maybe a goal assist, but set the move off when he gets the ball in our half. He's boxed in with two players. He can come through with it, lay it off, and that sets the attack up. Now, that don't go down as an assist, does it? Because his assists apparently are the only first, last touch of the ball before it goes in. Pointless stat to keep, in a way. You can see the dynamic of the team does change with Pakatar in it.
Did you stay at the always end or did you leave
Yeah, no,
time.
I always stayed. Well, considering I met
actually,
you
a lot
on the
of
way
people
out,
left because we were winning so much. A lot of people did leave early because
it
was a school
night.
Well,
you know, it, it, it's, you know, The only thing is that, all jokes aside, there's still that frailty at the back that we know. But
yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, if they can score two and we can get four, bearing in mind, you know, a Brentford team that I don't think we'd beat in the Premier League, would we? We'd only beat
them
in the
Cup. We'd never beat them in the Premier League, and we'd never beaten them at London Stadium.
So, you know, considering they had Ivan Toney back, you know, there was always that worry.
He was quite anonymous, wasn't he?
He was, you know, and
considering we're not very good defensively, it was surprising that he wasn't more involved.
Maybe, actually, at the back, I don't know, perhaps having Mavropanos there.
Mavropanos has been doing well lately.
Yeah. I mean, we're still conceding.
Well, let me give you a little stat attack. I know you've missed your little stat attacks. Do you want to have a guess, without looking, how much possession West Ham had against Brentford, Nigel?
42%.
Close. 41%, says the BBC. Obviously, 59 for Brentford. How many shots do you think we had, and how many we had on target for West Ham, Nigel?
We had 17 shots, of which 6 were on target, correct, 10 were off target, and 1 was blocked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're looking that up now.
No.
Brentford had 14 shots, 8 on target. Yeah. So they had more 8 on target. And then that's another story about Areola having the form of his life. They had 7 corners to our 1. They fouled.
Oh, that's the best goalkeeper we've ever had.
Yeah. They fouled 9 times to our 5. Dirty Brentford.
I've thrown that out there, and Nigel sat quietly.
Yeah,
now.
I know. He's
that wasn't what I was expecting.
No, go on.
I was expecting something back from that.
No, look, Areola's proven himself to be a great goalkeeper.
He's a great shot stopper, isn't he?
And he is the. And I have said it. He is the future. Fabianski's not. But you know, and. You all got to admit, Areola's made a drop to clanger as much as Fabianski's dropped to clanger.
Yeah,
Fabianski, for me, is still the best keeper we've had since Phil Parks. Areola
could be.
In 6 years, if Areola plays 5-6 years for West Ham and shows the type of performances that he's been playing, then he can he's got the ability to surpass Fabianski.
Yeah, he's a really good shot stopper.
Yeah.
It's the aerial ball that he struggles with.
Which is mad because he's quite tall.
Yeah.
So what's West Ham's average percentage of possession?
Probably 48%.
48%?
Yeah, that's my guess.
What do you reckon, John? So 40, out of the
42.
Out of 28 games. Well, John's obviously near enough there. It's 41.11%.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just Premier League games.
I've seen there's loads of different stats I've seen knocking around. I think we've got one of the worst defensive records in the top half of the table, haven't we, or something.
Must be doing something right, though. We're in that European space, John.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, that's the stat that surprises me.
Let's try not to be negative. Let's try and be a warm, vibrant... episode. We haven't
I'm
got
not
Len
negative.
This week.
I'm just accepting.
So there might not be any swearing. And that game, our first win of 2024, our first win, you know, you think doom and gloom, we're in relegation the way some people are talking. That took us up to 8th, above Wolves, above Newcastle, above Chelsea, above Fulham, above Crystal Palace, above Bournemouth, above Everton, above Brentford, above Notts Forest, into 8th. On the
I think
same
we can
points,
work that out.
39 points.
So you're saying we're trying not points. To swear? Don't be such an arsehole.
39 points, the same as Brighton on 7th. And that was just on Monday. We haven't even got to Sunday yet.
Right, but what I was going to say was...
Sorry, Saturday.
Considering that, you know, he's renowned for a defensive setup.
Yeah.
We're not very good defensively.
Zouma... I don't know who our best... All right, I don't know who our best centre-backs are anymore because you used to say it was Agüero and Zouma, but Zouma worries the hell out of me. I know he got a goal, but, you know, I think Mavropanos is showing. I mean, Agüero can't even get a game at the moment.
Do you think Zouma will make it through to next season?
No, I don't. Not in a million years, I don't. His knees are shot.
So what are they going to do? They just write it off.
I think it'll be like
short
that West Ham sign. I think they're taking him down in the end.
Right, yeah,
I think an M's fallen off, right? Not only that, they're going to take him all down by the end of the season, John. I think his knees will give up at one point.
So what can they do about it? Can they, is that an insurance write-off or something? Or
yeah, possibly. I don't know.
Only if he retires injured.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I know he has a special training bit, but I think we've got to definitely get some centre-backs in the summer. Anywho, yeah. Let's move on to Saturday. I've got a confession to make. I was out in London, so I was listening on BBC radio commentary. I listened to the commentary live, but I was relying on people sending me the goals on WhatsApp to watch the goals. And I've only watched the highlights. So I didn't watch the game live. I listened to the commentary. So I've got a bias from the BBC radio commentary. Let's start with you this time, Nigel, assuming you did either go to the game or watch the game against Everton.
I did see the game, yes. The whole game and nothing but the game.
Well done. When we went 1-0 down,
yes.
Did you fear the worst?
Did I fear the worst? I thought it was quite an even game. The first half, they had more clinical shots. We had enough of the ball, but didn't really create anything meaningful. They defended, you know, as a Dyche team would. They defended quite well.
So I think it was 0-0, wasn't it, at half-time?
Yeah, 0-0 at half-time. You had the penalty,
56.
Which, I don't know, it's a tough one because...
Oh, yeah, the penalty.
Seeing it on TV, when you see it happen, he's very close. But the slow-mo, his arm's out, he's pulling it back. For me... You know, is that a deliberate handball? No, it's not. But the rule ain't deliberate handball anymore, yeah. Is it? The rule is, there's this word, unnatural position. I mean, if your arm's out by your side, what is a natural position?
It, though? 13 points he earned me.
But what if he hadn't? What I'm saying is, this: if you look at a penalty, is that a penalty, really? I mean, the thing is, you can see now...
Oh, you're saying it's poorly taken. I didn't see it. I only listened.
You know, is it natural for a defender to tuck his arms behind his back? Is that natural?
Yeah.
Because that's what they're having to do now. So it's such a stupid rule, unnatural position.
Was it a good penalty saved by Areola or was
it
rubbish?
A poor
penalty. It was a poor penalty, was it?
But, you know, Areola did well because he put it in the corner, but he didn't hit it with...
They tried to say, didn't they? Well, didn't they try and go to the ref and go to VR that West Ham people encroached and wanted it replayed
against
Everton?
No, I'm glad you kept up with the game. Well done,
that's
Sean.
That's what the commentator said. They said, Everton are demonstrating with a referee wanting...
West Ham players encroached.
Saying West Ham players encroached.
Right, no.
When
it was whether Areola was on the line when the ball was struck.
Yeah, but
which
West Ham players
encroaching. I thought the lino was always stood on the line.
Well, the rule is that as long as Areola's got one foot on the line as the ball is struck, then he's not encroached. And he did. Yeah. His back foot was on the line. His front foot was pushing him off. His front foot was off the line. But it doesn't matter.
He chose the right corner and he got down there well.
And yeah. That, if I remember rightly, was that Areola penalty just... they would have gone 2-0 up, yeah?
No, they'd have gone 1-0 up. I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Well, I listened on the radio on Oxford
so
Street.
So not seen Match of the Day before?
I don't have a TV licence. I can't watch Match of the Day.
Oh, right. So you're not bothered to watch Sky then because you got Sky?
I saw all the goals sent to me, but I didn't watch the penalty. Maybe I should watch the penalty.
Right.
You haven't got a TV licence.
I haven't got a TV licence, no. I don't watch TV. I watch...
Well,
you know,
what about in the missus's house? Has she got a TV licence?
No, we stopped it.
You stopped paying a TV licence?
Yeah, because we don't watch TV. We don't even have an aerial.
All right, do you listen to BBC Radio, Sean?
No.
You don't use the BBC whatsoever?
I don't, no.
You don't? What about the BBC website where you get your stats from? As you just said,
yeah,
I got
that
it off
doesn't
the
need a TV licence, though.
No, but it's paid for out of the TV licence. The TV licence is for the BBC, and the BBC run websites, radio, local radio,
but I don't
run the weather that you get your weather from.
I don't listen to BBC Radio. Oh, you're right, I do look at the website. Maybe I should start going to another website.
So just pay the bloody money, yeah, because it ain't just about do I watch BBC One.
Which I don't, by the way. Just
right. Well, I don't watch BBC One, but I use the BBC, and I gladly pay over my licence fee.
Okay.
This nonsense about don't pay and defund the BBC is total rubbish.
I just don't watch TV. Anyway, anywho, let's talk, before we move on to John, about a stat attack. Everton had 55%, meaning West Ham had 45%. Everton had 22 shots, 11 on target, while West Ham had 12 shots, 5 on target. We had 5 corners, therefore they fouled 9 times to our 6. If you look at the shots and on target, you would say Everton were unlucky. John?
Well, I mean, they were unlucky for the fact that Arriola was in such good form, I would say.
Oh, he made 9 saves. I mean, that's what got me another 3 points on my fantasy.
I think there was like 4 saves that were, you know, really good saves. And, you know, you'd like to think that they would have possibly got 1 or 2 of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that's the whole point of having a good goalkeeper, isn't it? I mean, I didn't think we were that good in the first half, and I thought we were a little bit better in the second half. And then when they were pushing we got
West
our
Ham
goal back,
John. Obviously, 8 minutes after the Everton goal, Zouma with his head, after all the people shouting at Zouma, going, "Oh, why has he started Zouma?" He headed in on 62. Looked like it was going to be a draw, and looked like Lem wasn't going to give away a painting. And then late in injury time, I spoke too soon on X, on Twitter, Souček, someone that Lem doesn't usually like very much, came up with his goal on 91.
Incredible goal, yeah.
And Alvarez sealed the deal
with
on
a
95.
Superb finish.
With Ward-Prowse on the first assist, Kudos on the second assist, and Bowen again on the third assist.
Yeah.
It probably was a bit unfair. I think David Moyes said this. It probably was a bit, the scoreline was a bit unflattering for Everton, because it really didn't.
The scoreline didn't reflect the game for Everton.
Correct. That's
not
the
unflattering,
word
but you know, I thought it was reminiscent of some of the early performances we had in the season, like the Brighton game and things like that, where we basically managed to take on all the possession and let them sort of absorb all their attacking prowess. And then when we did go and break on them, we were quite clinical, which we haven't been up till for the last few matches, have we? But
no,
you know, honestly, the Alvarez finish was superb. It was sublime the way he chipped
the
keeper. And
we didn't mention it, but the Emerson goal was out this world, obviously, on the Monday. So
yeah.
We're scoring some welders at the moment.
Well, in the Souček goal, where did that come from? You know what I mean?
It was
it was superb, wasn't it? And that was And it's and you can sit there like I was sitting there, well, half asleep, to be honest, because I'd had a late night and whatever. And sort of watching it, thinking, oh, it's the same old, same old. And then we equalise, well, that'll do, the draw will do. And then I'm at the edge of my seat when we score the Souček goal goes in, and then just laughing when we score the third one, you know?
Yeah.
You just got to take it for what it is.
I was jumping up and down on Oxford Street, much to the amusement of the foreigners and tourists, going, what is this guy? I have my earphones in, and I was jumping up and down. Actually, it was Regent Street when the goals went in.
Oh, nice. Well.
Anyway,
three points, back-to-back
wins
at the end of the game,
and seventh, and we're safe, John. The main thing is 42 points.
That's
mate.
It.
We're safe from relegation.
That's it. Job done.
Nigel, anything same from the game?
Well, I only got the first half before you cut me off.
Yeah, I know. Well, I wanted to give John something, but you can go to the second half now that John's done it.
I don't know. I always get mystified sometimes. We all see things differently. So we've all got our own different outlook. But I thought that was a pretty decent away day performance by West Ham. And I thought the goals, they came late. But, you know, and they came in the 91st minute and the 94th minute.
91st and 95th, yeah.
You know, but that's the way football can be at times, isn't it? Sometimes you've got to be patient before you can...
Some people still weren't happy. There were still people wanting us to lose.
Are you not entertained?
I don't know, Sean, if they want us to lose. I think
who wants us to lose?
Yeah, I think they don't. I think he's being a bit disingenuous there.
Sean, you are an antagonistic shit stirring little prick.
After the game, saying is it a lot of busybody as well? Statue of David Moyes was antagonistic.
You just all these tweets that you've been doing today about the arrests, this and this, that. It's just like a little shit stir. No one cares.
He thinks he's being a news service, John.
Nobody cares. I'm not stirring. It doesn't. People don't.
You
care,
just man. you just come across like a little busybody and just.
But John, do you like as someone that I would probably say is in the Moyes at camp?
Yeah, I am Moyes at camp.
Do you look at that and think that's a typical Moyes ball? He got lucky, you know.
No, that's not an he's got lucky, because that's the Moyes plan. That's the, I mean, that performance is like you say, is a good performance. That's a great performance. It's an away day performance. That's great. Type of performance. What we can't expect to go. We don't very rarely beat Everton, do we? Very rarely. So
no,
go away to Everton.
Yeah, they've won twice as many Premier League games, West Ham Everton Premier League games, than West Ham have. I think.
Yeah, we struggle against them. So we weren't going to go there, go all guns blazing and whatever. But I mean, my Moyes outcomes from them performances at home week in, you know, against Bournemouth and Brentford's and. It's the same thing at home, as a way, you know.
At least you're not, John, to be fair to you, you're not a flip-flop fan.
Most
you've
teams.
You've been Moyes out the whole season.
Moyes lost me around Christmas last year.
Yeah.
And I think most teams set up differently away from home than they do at home, apart from us, really. And I find that frustrating and things like that. But no, I mean, that performance, I didn't think we were that good in the first half. I thought we rode our luck. I thought the keeper had done really well. And then, you know, I think we improved in the second half after we'd got the equaliser. But then they pushed forward and we broke on them and were clinical, which we've done on a few occasions.
I mean, he's a mad... I don't know about stat, but the highest possession we've had at home this season is 63%.
Right.
Against?
That was against Everton when we lost 1-0.
Oh. Yeah. Had too much the ball.
The thing is that when does it become... Because this ain't Allardyce type football. It ain't just oof it up the field.
I don't think it's that far away from it. I know you say,
it's light years away from it, John.
You watch us in periods of time.
But every team plays long balls in periods of time. So if you watch the main build up of our play, take Pakatar out of the team. They're still not hitting long balls.
The last couple of games, maybe not. But, you know, we were getting a lot of keeper out to defender, defender out to like left back, right back back to defender, then kicking it long. It was a lot of that. There was a lot of that going on. And sort of bypassing the midfield.
But you do get that the flip-flop, and John, you know I'm going to talk about this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Because I know you commented on Twitter, and I was trying to prove in the way a point, and Nick called it. You know, when I did a poll about David Moyes after like three losses on the trot, actually Nigel asked, not David.
No, no, hold up, son. Nigel didn't fucking ask.
Nigel put it
in a private group.
He put it in
you
a private group.
You then decided to take it out there.
Yeah. So when we did that, what should we do about David Moyes? Sack David Moyes at the time. This was on the 18th of February, so just over 2 weeks ago. 62% of 7,900 said sack David Moyes now. 16% said decide at the end of the season. 4% said offer Moyes a new contract, and 18% said change him, replace him at the end of the season. I said decide at the end of the season, for what it's worth. I think we know where John was, and I think you said replace him at the end of the season, if I remember rightly, Nigel. You said
yes.
Yeah. So I did the podcast. I did the poll again. Again, Nigel didn't ask for me. David Sullivan didn't ask for me. Actually, Mark Murphy said, why don't you do a poll again after back-to-back win?
Yeah, but if someone suggests it, ask, you don't have to do it.
Yeah, you can go no.
There's no point. What's the point?
It would be a great little thing, polls apart.
But these polls only work, Sean, if exactly the same people take
them. I get that. But this time it was around 2,400, right?
So less or more?
Oh no, actually, it was less. It was about 3,500. But the sack him now went down from 62% to 7%. Do not renew his contract at the end of the season. Went from 18% to 31%, so it went up. Decide at the end of the season went from 16% to 53%, and offer him a new contract went up from 4% to 9%. My point was, and Nick got this, we are reactive as a fan base when it comes to it, you, other people may say, well, but you can't use Twitter, but you know, we do flip
as plot. A fan base. You say as a fan base, what fan base isn't reactive to?
No, I agree with you, John.
It's just that's the nature of football, is it not? If you're winning, everyone seems happy. If you're losing, yeah, then...
I know.
You know.
And maybe it proves that polls are a load of shit either way, you know, whether you want to use them for or against. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is a few good wins. Let's say we beat Burnley as well, right? It's going to get harder and harder to replace him at the end of the season. I think if we win the Europa League, qualify for Europe, I don't think they can replace him, John.
No, but if we beat Burnley, yeah, and we win in Europe, you can't, you know, the two aren't connected particularly, because after Burnley, who have we got? We've got a run of, who are we playing? We've got Liverpool.
Villa. Yeah, it's a hard one.
It's Villa, then Freiburg at home.
How many games left?
We've got Freiburg, Burnley, Freiburg, Villa. The next right. four games.
Have you bought your Freiburg ticket yet, Nigel?
No. You're just trying to be, actually. I need to do that.
No, I haven't done it yet.
But it's in the run. Our running few games to the end of the season, quite tricky, isn't they?
There's
11 games left. Well, I think we've got Liverpool and Man City, obviously the top two. But then again, guess what? So have other teams when there's 11 games left. Yeah. I mean, we've got, as I said, Villa, obviously Newcastle away, because there's a break after the Villa game, was a weekend off. We've got Newcastle away at Easter and Spurs at home just straight after Easter on the 2nd of April. Wolves away, which could blow hot or cold, as Wolves are. Then we've got Fulham at home, who Fulham are shit away from home. Palace away, who could have bedded in under their new manager, but may still be. But then again, we like to play well on the counter. Then we got Liverpool and Chelsea. Liverpool at home, Chelsea away. Luton at home and Man City. So,
I would say for you people that say, wait till the end of the season. Yeah. That's it. Wait till the end of the season because, he might win against Burnley or we might win against Burnley and beat Freiburg, which you'd like to think we do. But he may not win another game the rest of the season. You don't know, John.
And he might. So okay then. But we could win them all because that's in a way. I'm not saying how silly the argument is. Are we going to lose every game? No, we're not. We're not.
Well, after the bot, after the Burnley game.
What, we're going to lose to Luton at home?
Well, we could.
All right.
Anywho.
Well, we could beat
draw,
Luton.
Couldn't we?
Anywho.
What about Villa?
We've got question time ahead.
But we could beat them, though, John.
Little news stories.
See, he's trying to interrupt now, isn't it? We're getting a good discussion going, and he's like...
But anyway, so, let's just wait till the end of the season.
Do you think, how many points, John? Honestly, come on, out of them 11 games, how many points do you think we'll get? Let's go quickly. Villa. So we got Burnley. What are you thinking for Burnley?
We should beat Burnley.
Right. So we all agreed 45 points now. Yeah. So Villa
lose
at home.
Point.
Yeah, I'll go for a point. Newcastle away.
Points. I think Newcastle there for the taking.
I think we'll lose. So that's 46 for me. Spurs
lose
at home.
Lose.
Yeah, lose.
I got a point, 47. Wolves away.
Win.
Draw.
I'll go for a win. So that's 49. Fulham at home.
Win.
Draw.
I'll go for a win, 52. Palace.
Win.
Lose.
I think a draw. So that's 53. Liverpool.
Lose.
Chelsea. I think we'll lose to Liverpool.
Win to Chelsea.
Lose.
I think we'll draw. 54. Luton Town at home.
Big win.
Draw.
I think we'll win. And then Man City away.
Lose.
So I think we'll get about between 58 and 59 points.
Yeah, I was down
that
about
get
50,
us Europe,
51.
Won't it?
Borderline, yeah. Could get a seventh. Borderline.
So if that's the case, then wait until the end of the season. And you say, Nigel.
But I always think, and that's why I don't like sacking managers during the season or halfway through a season, whatever, because football, it is a 38 game league, so you don't know what's happened. I get if you was bottom three about this point and cut adrift, I can get the reasoning behind sacking a manager. But when you're sitting where we are, whatever, I don't get no reasoning. I don't think we'll get seventh, to be truthful. I think we'll be pipped to it. Possibly, I don't know, by Chelsea. I think they're running into a bit of form.
So if that points that you've just accumulated in your thing, what does that say to you at the end of the season then? Sign him up or let him go?
Do you know what? I know it sounds mad. It is conditional upon if we get European football next year, I'd find it hard to let him go. I think he's earned a right to go into Europe again. In silly Nazis polls, I did stick with my let him go at the end of the season.
Well, did you?
there are managers, and this is the thing, and I think, you know, okay, this argument that people go, yeah, well, this argument, that, and the argument, well, who's that out there? You know, well, Crystal Palace have got, in my opinion, a very good manager. He can be a bit toxic, though, sometimes at clubs, you know. And why did Frankfurt get rid of him so quickly after winning the UEFA Cup and getting them into the knockout stages of the Champions League? I think there's questions to be asked there. But I think you can't, without that, you can't argue. We all see what his Eintracht Frankfurt team, the way they played. Bloody decent. Yeah. That's the way they played. So, you know, I don't study what managers are available, but there are managers out there. There is a manager out there that can take West Ham and make us better. There is. I don't know who, because I don't follow it like that, but there
that's
are.
That's the danger. You just don't know if that's the one we're going to get.
No, and that's the thing. You just do not know. Because of the market we shop in, we don't shop in the, you know, the top of the list of managers.
That's not always the need, is it? There's not always a need to do that, is there? I mean, when Southampton got Pochettino in, he turned them around completely. No one knew anything about him. That's my
point of view. There is a manager out there that could be brought in, and it's someone we possibly wouldn't know. Could you imagine if West Ham had hired Pochettino, yeah, straight from Spain, where he hadn't done that well. He hadn't done as well as Pellegrini did in Spain.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing when it comes to managers that I do find baffling when people just want to constantly
get Mourinho in.
Or Graham Potter.
Yeah, well, let's think out of the box.
Did I hear that they thought that Graham Potter was going to go to Manchester United? What?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Well, I find it quite telling that he's still not got another club.
No. Well, you know what I got told by a senior source?
No.
He was flattered by the recruitment formula at Brighton. He was found out at Chelsea.
Well, he may well have been.
And he became good at Brighton because of the formula. Now, I think you can guess we're not going for Graham Potter, that means.
Well, it's three. Arsenal 3-0 up against Sheffield United. It's 40 minutes gone.
Are they? Oh, wonder if any more players.
Yeah, but I mean, they've Arsenal have clicked into another gear now, haven't they?
Ever since they've done us, haven't it? Since
yeah, but I mean, you know, they've gone 6-5-4. Looks like they'll increase that again, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Anywho. A little bit of news, including an exclusive.
Ooh.
I'll save the exclusive to last. Sign of the times. I mean, West Ham don't help themselves, do they? So I'm sure you saw the original picture. Someone nicked the M on the West Ham United sign outside Rush Green. So it's been missing for about a month, you know. Some fan has come along, nicked it. So doesn't look good. Maybe they should have taken it down at the time. So last week, some bright spark decides to get a W, turn it upside down, different colour. They didn't clean the wall behind and put an upside down W in place of the M. Well, of course, obviously I publicised it because that's what I do. But
the funny thing about you publicising it, Sean.
Go on.
I think your original tweet didn't realise it was an upside down W.
Right.
Yes. I spotted that.
So, and of course there was a backlash, and I did say to the club, slightly embarrassing. And of course they've now taken it completely down. I understand they're going to clean the wall and put a new sign, which is maybe something they should have done in the first place. But I don't know. They can't seem to get a break. I mean, Rush Green doesn't get the best of raps. But here's the exclusive, and the reason I mention this
is the Sheffield United fans are leaving 40 minutes.
A little birdie tells me that West Ham are looking at another possible purpose built training ground. Now I wanna I want to say at the moment, I don't know whether this is for the first team, the kids, or women, or all of them. It's a very big site. It's called Barley Lands in Billericay. You might know it.
I do know it.
It's got a number of pitches there. I think FC Red Wing. And just if in case anyone from FC Red Wing is listening, all I hear is they made an inquiry to the council and the landowner, which I think is Barleylands Farm. It's a big plot, number of grassroots pitches, plus a lot of other land there, and there's a farm and arts and crafts and everything. And of course, it look, this is speculation. All I know is they inquired about, you know, could they get planning and would the land be available? But you could see them selling, maybe, I speculate, Chadwell Heath, Rush Green, and Little Heath for housing development. They're all in prime spots. And with that money, building a purpose-built training facility like the one in Cobham, Chelsea, that would look at the women, kids, and you know, all in one place.
Sounds like that sounds a bit professional for us.
This is an exclusive for this podcast. I haven't really released anyone else.
Well, isn't there stuff all over Twitter about some club being sort of like put out of business because of this going on and things like that? I haven't really looked at it or read it, but there's some stuff.
I think there's a few clubs that use our Beckton pitches.
Yeah, so clubs. The Beckton one is
they've decided to close it
for refurbishment. Yeah.
Without telling those clubs in advance.
Yeah. Well, also there's the Red Ditch one, isn't there? Which I believe has fallen through now. What was that place? You'll probably know better than me.
The Red Ditch one.
Red Ditch, yeah.
Redditch.
Redditch.
That's by Birmingham.
Well, where is it then? Oh, Red Ditch.
Red Bridge.
Well, it could be. Where was the place where West Ham wanted to, and it went to the town hall?
You're talking about Fairlop.
Was it?
Yeah, Redbridge. Yeah.
Redbridge, right. Okay.
That's just up Oakfield the road.
Oakfield Playing Fields in Fairlop.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know.
Redbridge Council.
Redbridge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just up the road
give
from Small Heath.
Go ahead, but someone had told me they thought it wasn't going to go ahead. But in October last year, they did give the council sort of gave a nod.
Well,
through.
This is one thing, probably.
By the way, don't tell anyone. This is secret to us.
Every
the
West Ham
listeners.
Fan
we don't want this out there, right?
All agree with, yeah. Cool. Our training campus is a bit poor.
It is, yeah. And the sign is a sort of indicative of that.
Well, that about sums West Ham up. Yeah. You know, the first thing they do is, you know, the M disappears. Secondly, then they've only got a W. So
in a different colour.
Let's put that up and then no one will notice. And then obviously everyone's going to notice. So then let's take all the letters down anyway until we can put it back up. And you think, realistically, you lot are pathetic. And the funny thing about it, you know, West Ham United, it ain't even in West Ham, is it? The training ground.
No. So. Is Billericay big? A lot of players live in Billericay or close to it, don't they?
Billericay ex-players might. I'm not sure. Modern day players live that far out. It's quite a way out.
I'm going to Essex tomorrow. I'm going to Colchester.
Oh, Colchester, are you? What, to the army base or to
yeah,
the prison?
Yeah, the army base, yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's North Essex, social.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm in Bandit Country tomorrow.
Bandit Country?
Yeah, Essex.
All right.
Anyway, anywho, right, the last news story, which I said, John said I was shit-stirring, but I was reading, every month or every few months, I read the London Stadium Safety Advisory Group, the SAG.
No, that wasn't so much a shit-stirring, because you do that generally just on Twitter.
Yeah.
That bit that you're talking about now is just you being a little busybody.
Well, no, this is all from the minutes, by the way. The rest of everything from the minutes.
You just being a little busy boy, so here, putting that out there. It, no,
here's the interesting thing, right? So I did a Freedom of Information to ask how many people at each West Ham game.
Of course you did.
They now tell me, they can't tell me, it's a secret. It would be law and order, police secret, commercial secret, how many people actually turn up. So this time, the minutes that just came out for January 2024 released that 422,667 people attended 9 West Ham fixtures, right, with 244 ejections during those games, right? If you divide that number by 9, that leaves an average attendance of 46,963. And you're thinking, ooh, that doesn't sound quite right. Now, just have to say, those games, Everton, 62,469. The second one was Arsenal, right, in the Carabao Cup. It was 62,154. Then there was Olympiacos, right, that was 55,811. Then Nottingham Forest, 62,470. Crystal Palace, 62,459. Then there was Freiburg at home in December. That was 48,876, the lowest one. Wolverhampton Wanderers, 62,455. Manchester United, 62,472. And finally, on the 2nd of Jan, Brighton and Hove Albion, 62,462. Okay. Now, if you divide, I added up all those official attendances, you get to 541,628. Divide them by 9, you get an average attendance out of those 9 games. It's supposed to be 60,000 is because of the Freiburg and the Olympiacos.
Oh, right.
60,181. So that means, right, really sad fact, that 108,961 people over those games bought a ticket but didn't use it.
Oh, right.
That wasn't very interesting, was it?
No, I mean, the big thing out of it is the what was the average attendance?
The average, including 3 cup games, although one of them was an Arsenal game that got maximum.
Yeah.
The out of 9 games, 7 of which were sellouts,
yeah,
the average was 46,963.
Yeah. I suppose realistically you should take them cup game, the 2 European games out of it, because it's a lower capacity.
I know, but how do you... You can't... Because they won't release it by game, we don't know what the real attendances were, you know? You could argue that actually...
Well, because... Yeah, generally...
The people who bought ticket for cup games tend to go because
to go. Yeah, because you have to buy the ticket.
And the same with the Arsenal game.
I mean, that's... The funny thing is, that's probably about right with what our eyes tell us.
Yeah.
The Brentford game will be a damn sight less. If there was
my
40,
feeling is it's around about 50,000 that 12,000 don't turn up. Did you sell your ticket, by the way, John? I know I put it on ticket.
No, I've never sold it.
It never sells.
Never sells. No.
Okay. I'll try for you though, mate.
Who would buy it? Be honest with you.
Fans of the opposition, mate, as I found when I sold the couple of mine.
Anywho, we're on 51 minutes and we're probably coming to the end of this first.
My highlight of the week was, I can't remember what the conversation was on Twitter, but Nigel, I liked a tweet of Nigel's when I just read that one tweet. Can't remember what it was about, but it's something along the lines that we'll forever hate our ownership for what they've done or something.
Oh, it was answering someone on Twitter or interrupting someone else's conversation about, you know, why would anyone dislike the ownership? And I sort of listed, you know, quite a few reasons why.
I hope you didn't go for
over the move and everything else. I had a quite surreal Twitter experience today. I was in a conversation with Chrissy Mills and another person who protects his tweets. And so I only ever get to see, like, Chrissy's replies. And apparently we couldn't redevelop the east stand, I learnt this today, was due to a fire hydrant, according to this random person on Twitter, who's obviously studied it far more than I have and come up with this fantastic fire hydrant reasons why we couldn't build a new east stand and take us up to 45,000.
Which would have been what? That probably just been about enough, wouldn't it?
Well, that's funny, that, isn't it? You know? That's funny, that. So, yeah.
Well. Cool. Let me leave you with an Everton out. Fans
Kratinsky
plea.
Out.
Which I know you've seen, Nigel. It's a chap called Lee, who's an Everton fan, or Lee_EFC. It said, I would keep Sean Dyche for the rest of the season and then do everything in my power to bring David Moyes home. He's a man I want leading the new area at Bramley Moor Dock. If West Ham don't want him, bring him home. The mood would lift here in a heartbeat.
Mm.
John's going, you can have him.
There you go.
Right, hold up a
Does
minute.
He want to lift?
Yeah. Well, right, here you go, John, just to cheer you up, yeah?
Okay.
Paul Ellis, an Everton fan, then tweets Lee's tweet, which is how Sean's got this, and says, this is the epitome of what Moyes did for Everton, making fans believe that results under him were successful. The Moyes era was a total fallacy. Nought wins away against the Big Four in 11 years without a trophy. He shouldn't be allowed anywhere near the club
again.
Why do
you have to read stuff like that?
Because, Sean, you've read the tweet, yeah, out. See, I retweeted
I know you did.
Paul Ellis's, and you've picked just one part out because I joked that
it's
poor old David Moyes, there's the Moyes in, Moyes out debate happening
on,
at Everton, and he don't even manage them. That's got nothing to do
there's
with
no
the argument, Sean, is it? That's got nothing to do with it.
Anyway, Burnley. Well, two games, obviously. Freiburg away and then Burnley. Predictions, John?
Freiburg away, 2-0 win.
Burnley at home.
Burnley, 2-0 win.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Nigel?
Freiburg away. I'll go for a draw. 1-0.
Oh.
Though they did, I think they've only won one game in the last 7 or 8. I did watch them lose to Augsburg, which is quite. They were 1-0 up, got a lucky penalty, and then Augsburg, but that was away. But then Burnley. I will go for 3-0 on the day of the anniversary of the Burnley riots.
Oh yeah,
is that what it is?
Yeah,
exactly the same.
To that day.
Ooh.
So I'll go 2-1-0 wins. I mean, why not? A 1-0 away win and a 1-0 against Burnley. And the wins keep on happening. 4 back-to-back wins, that would be. I've been Sean. John has been...
here, cheering you all up.
Nigel has been...
I've been whatever.
Back soon with episode 39 for question time with Nigel and myself. But we say goodbye to John. Bye.
Bye.
Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.